You were going to listen to Aloha A.
Oh, is that what this is?
Yes. This is a very famous Hawaiian song. Mm-hmm. What I did not know until very recently was that this was written by the Queen of Hawaii.
Well, I used to know that.
You did?
I used to.
No.
That's right.
We're going to have a quiz about her because she died 100 years ago this week. So we'll hear... This isn't her singing. This is someone else singing. But this is a song she wrote. There's a couple of origins to this song. Apparently there was a colonel named James Boyd, and he hugged her when he was saying goodbye, so she wrote a song about the hug goodbye as she was walking back or taking her outrigger canoe back or wherever she returned back to where she lived.
It's Aloha, right?
Right.
Aloha.
Oh, there's lyrics. In both Hawaiian and English.
Oh, I know the English ones.
Yeah?
Yeah, mainly because my daughter always watches Lilo and Stitch, and is in it.
Oh.
Yeah, she watches that movie a lot.
I haven't seen it recently. I remember the Elvis songs.
Yeah, they have Elvis songs, and then at one point they sing this.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Not in Hawaiian, though. I couldn't do that.
No. Mm-hmm.
If this isn't the original recording, why are we listening to it? Like, we could get a more updated version, right?
I
this
like the
grainy,
old,
like...
I like the old scratchy sounds.
Mm-hmm. Do you have vinyl?
I don't have vinyl. I used to have vinyl. I mean, when I was 7, I used to have
vinyl.
Yeah,
I think everybody did then, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to enjoy a nice pretzel stick right now. Would you like a pretzel stick?
Sure. Weren't we, like, just off air? We could have had these then instead of, like, something to really dry our mouths out before we start going into the show.
No, this is... I just wish there was something else I could have instead of a pretzel stick.
Mm-hmm.
Something like a cigar, almost. But you never offer me a cigar.
You know, I gave up on that, Jeff. Yeah, you have a face. You have the perfect face for a cigar, too.
Wait, what's the perfect face for a cigar?
It's just something about it. You know, your mouth is made to hold a cigar.
Oh, I didn't know I had a cigar mouth.
Yeah.
Wait. When you think of people smoking cigars... You think of like heavy set guys with like heavy big jaws. And that's not me. I don't have a like prominent jaw.
You're a little jowly.
I'm jowly?
A little bit.
A little bit. Okay. Maybe I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. If we did this outside, you could see our breath.
So yes, all right.
Oh, wow.
Here. All right, so I'm holding the pretzel.
Okay.
Away with a cigar.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking to you. What am I doing?
Oh, you're gesturing.
I'm gesturing.
Yes.
With my cigar. You don't think that would be great to do?
It is very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, make a point with your cigar.
What's the most cigars you've smoked in a day?
Nothing crazy. Maybe 3.
Okay.
But that's like for like a special occasion or somewhere where I wouldn't,
right.
You know.
Because it takes like 45 minutes to smoke a cigar all day.
Yeah, I mean, most days I don't smoke any.
Right. Our big story this week is the October Revolution, but this was a powder keg of a week. There was a huge amount of stuff happening 100 years ago today.
Why are we covering the October Revolution in November?
That's a very good question. The short answer, and that's really all there is to it, is that the Russians were using a different calendar than ours. Oh. We switched over to the Gregorian calendar. They were still using the Julian calendar. And the Julian calendar was missing a couple of days. So they still considered this October. Well, we had bumped it into November. And that was one of the reasons why there needed to be a revolution, because the ruling classes, ours, were stuck in this very outdated mode of thinking that it was still like 1703, and they didn't need to change anything.
This was a war really about calendars more than anything.
About calendars, yeah. They also didn't like the ASCII keyboard. They wanted the proper Dvorak keyboard, because they thought that it improved typing skills. But here's some of the other stuff that happened in this week. The British forces captured Gaza from the Ottoman Empire, which helped set up the idea from the Balfour letter of last week that they would have a home for Jews carved out of Palestine.
All right, Jeff, give me the right answer right now. Who has rightful claim to Gaza Strip? Get it right. Get it right, Jeff. Give the proper opinion to have.
Asians.
Perfect.
There we go. Whew. Whew. I was worried. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted
to be a little Saigon. You know
what? The U.S. Started to advertise needs for 7,000 phone operators because there was a huge telephone and telegraph need in World War I. And if we're going to be over there because three people died last week, we now need to have a more permanent footprint, which means bringing people overseas just to do like the clerical jobs that no one else wants to do mm-hmm. because they've all died. Also, this week, 100 years ago, New York City in New York State gives women the vote. Suffrage has finally happened, and it happened in New York. And I think that was because even back 100 years ago, New York City was one of the more progressive areas. Just like nowadays, like when people talk about the soda tax, it's only in New York City.
Was this the right before the mayoral election? Because that would be like right this week, right?
Yeah.
So
it may have been right beforehand, yeah. Or maybe it was right afterwards, and this was one of the first things that the new mayor did. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess if you did it right before, that would be seen as like putting a thumb on the scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like the day before an election, I'm just going to have a huge new swath of people that I say can vote, and please vote for me. Now, even though, you know, giving women the right to vote is, of course, a good thing, the timing would seem mm-hmm. weird for that
one. I'm sure like a very handsome mayor would be the one to make that decision, Joe.
Has there been a handsome New York mayor?
Let's see. In my lifetime, Ed Koch.
They're all distinctive looking. They're all like good fodder for people drawing political cartoons,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like handsome guys can only get so far.
Well, see, the first mayor I remember of New York was Ed Koch.
Ed Koch.
Then yeah. you had Dinkins.
Uh huh.
Okay. Then you had
Giuliani.
Giuliani. Then you had Bloomberg.
And now you've got Bill de Blasio.
De Blasio. I would guess Dinkins is probably the handsomest of that group.
Yeah, de Blasio is not a bad looking guy, but he's enormous.
He's so oafy looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, despite the fact that New York gave women the vote, 41 suffragists were arrested in front of the White House. And this is because they were trying to say what happened in New York should happen everywhere, which is the whole thing with the soda tax and seeing the calorie count for all the foods. What New York does, everyone else then eventually follows.
I hate calorie count. I hate it.
For the exact same reason that you're supposed to hate it. Because if it reminds you, oh, I want to drink this milkshake, but it has 600 calories. Oh, I wish I didn't know that.
Babe, all right. I didn't go in there with the idea that I was, you know, like having healthy. Here's like, I eat pretty healthy, actually. Mm-hmm. I do. Occasionally, I don't. So when I do my occasional not eating healthy, I want to just be able to fully enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be reminded the whole time about what I'm doing.
I like playing
that. I can see if you're somebody who, this is all you eat, is this shit.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, for somebody like me who just wants to indulge and have fun, you know?
Yeah, you don't want that reminder.
No. No, let me just be in like, you know, like blissful ignorance.
You know, they don't do that with alcohol. When you order a beer, there's nothing that says this is 280 calories.
Hmm, yeah, you're right.
Maybe it's because alcohol isn't considered food. Mm-hmm. It's alcohol because, you know, food and alcohol are different. But I'm getting texts all over the place.
Me too.
Yeah.
Has
the world blown up?
I don't know. Let's find out. No. No, it hasn't. Just Richie Byrne texting me about something.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting texts that someone's car, not mine, is going to be towed tomorrow morning.
What?
I have like 19 texts about a car being towed.
Oh, okay. I think I know whose car.
You do?
I was guessing that was going to be a family member.
Oh, yes. A family member's having a car towed tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, it's a really complicated story. How did you hear about it? It would take me 20 minutes to explain to you.
Psychic abilities.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of psychic abilities, no, wait, that's a terrible site. Yeah, there's nothing psychic about this. I was thinking, oh, we were talking about Uri Geller last week.
Yes.
That was last week.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of not having psychic abilities, now that's an even weaker one than the one before. Maybe that we should just not have a seg. Speaking of things that happened 100 years ago, this was the beginning of the October Revolution, which, as you mentioned, is happening in November. Renaming months, never a good idea of a stable government. That's what the French Revolution did. You know, they got rid of the 7-day week and they instituted the 10-day week? They called it like a decade.
All right, so what were the other days?
They renamed all 10 days of the week, and then renamed all the months also. And I only remember two of them. One of them is Thermidor, and one of them is Germinal.
Thermidor.
That's where lobster Thermidor comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And Therma means like it's hot. So it was like July and August. And Germinal was like when plants germinate. So that was in the springtime. So the Soviets, Soviet means counselor group. So the Soviets had a couple of meetings. And in the second meeting, they decided, among other things, to execute the former Tsar of Russia, Nicholas II. And he died in July. And I honestly can't remember if we brought that up.
I think we did.
There's so much Russia stuff that's going on in 1917. You basically need to have a whole podcast every week just
about it. At this point, I have no idea what we've talked about and haven't, though.
I feel likewise.
Yeah, like, for all I know, we may be covering the same topic every week. I don't really know.
Maybe it's just been one continuous explosion. And every time we cover the explosion, it's like Groundhog Day. Or
I feel we haven't done an explosion in a while.
No, but there's the biggest one yet coming up.
Oh,
the Halifax explosion. This one I knew about. I knew about this one for years, and it's the mother of all explosions. So we're going to end the year on the
big one.
With a bang.
Yeah.
A bang that kills thousands. It'll be the hardest one yet to make light of.
So, oh, we'll do it.
So, the Bolsheviks, and Bolshevik is a Russian word that means majority, which is a good name if you're a minority party and mm-hmm. you want to make yourself look bigger. You just call yourself the majority. Like, I was just hearing about someone who had a radio station, and they had a radio show on, and they called their show the number one radio show. And they kept on saying, oh, here we are at the number one radio show. And people would get all excited, like, wow, congratulations, you did it. He's like, it's just the name.
You know that has not worked with Milwaukee's best beer?
The Beast?
Yeah. That has not... people don't suddenly think that this is the best beer.
Well, it's qualified. It's not even the best beer. It's Milwaukee's best.
But it's not even the best in Milwaukee.
What's the best in Milwaukee?
I'm guessing something else from the Miller Brewing Company, right?
Yeah, that could be. And I'm sure there's lots of microbreweries that have a fine, robust body, too. So, the Bolsheviks decided to start occupying...
When you lived in Wisconsin, did people talk about, Milwaukee's best and, like, try to, like, disown it?
No, I was 10 at the time. People weren't talking to me about a dirtbag beer that often when you're 10. And I wasn't even in Milwaukee. I was in Green Bay.
Oh. Is that offensive to say to someone from Green Bay?
No. It's just that Milwaukee is a huge town and Green Bay is not. Despite the fact that the Packers are there, the next biggest building other than Lambeau Field was a Kmart. It's like, it's an incredibly small town.
Really?
But, yeah. It's basically, imagine if you took Nutley and moved Nutley into the middle of Iowa. That's how big it is. It's just that there's nothing else around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's water on three sides because it's on a peninsula, and then there's you just drive for 30 miles. The next thing.
And they get pro athletes to agree to play there.
Yes, and that's only because they sold the stadium and the team to the people.
Town is owned.
Right, and everyone has shareholders. That's why they've never moved. And they would make a whole lot more money if they moved somewhere else, but no one in Green Bay would be able to see games anymore. It's the best part of football.
They used to occasionally play, I think, in Milwaukee, though.
I'm pretty sure
Green Bay used to use two games a year they would play.
I can see that, yeah.
And I think at the old baseball stadium, actually.
Yeah, where the Brewers played?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happened this week, what the October Revolution was the Bolsheviks deciding we are going to take over all of the government buildings. That's what the October Revolution was, just breaking down the doors and going in and occupying the buildings.
Yeah.
And looked very much like Les Miserables, except with Russian accents. And one of the buildings they wanted to break into, which they successfully did, was the Winter Palace. That's where the remainder of the royal family and the provisional government was living. And these people weren't just breaking in to kick them out. They were killing everyone who they found. There were 238 people who died during this takeover. And the same week that there was a takeover, there was something called the Kremlin Wall.
The animated movie Anastasia, does that have something to do with this?
Yes, that's where the...
I thought so.
Yep.
I said, I know my I know cartoons now. I know Lilo and Stitch. Anastasia.
You're getting your history.
I don't get out
all
much.
The good cartoons.
I really don't.
You're very up on what was happening in the Sorcerer's Apprentice as well. If that's a historical document, were brooms part of the Sevastopol invasion of Ukraine? If so, you've got it covered.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the fighters, the 238 people who died, were buried in a mass grave that was called the Kremlin Wall Necropolis, and this was built incredibly fast. This was where all of the Russian soldiers in past wars were buried, like a field of honor. But they dug a giant mass grave and just threw hundreds of people in there. Yeah. At first, they were saying there were 1,000 people that died and were buried that were martyrs to the cause. But then someone actually counted. And I'm not sure of that 238, how many actually were revolutionary and how many were on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to imagine that people on both sides died during the fight.
Yeah, it isn't only the revolutionaries there.
Yeah, and you see a whole bunch of people dead and bloodied, wearing, like, you know, brown clothes. You can't tell who's a communist and who is a defender of capitalism who needed to be killed. They all look the same when they're dead. So there could be some capitalists thrown in there along with the communists. So the day after the Russian Revolution, Lenin gets set up as the new leader. So in February, they got rid of Tsar Nicholas II, and a provisional government was set up. And the October Revolution happening this week kicked out that provisional government and set up Lenin instead.
And the Tsar's daughter was sent away.
And then she got amnesia and forgot who she was.
Yes.
And then a handsome man, voiced by John Cusack, decided to pretend that she was who she really was.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to believe the lie, but it's not a lie. And there's a cartoon bat.
That's right.
So, one of the...
Who's my real history teacher? Don Bluth. I took an AP quiz all about their secret of NIMH.
The first thing Lenin...
If you want to talk about the immigration movement, we could really go into, like, you know...
An American Tale.
Fievel.
Yeah, yes.
Fievel the Mouse.
Oh, that was the connection. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the connection. I didn't have it, but you found it with Fievel.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves because of the Russian Revolution.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Now, that's a movie I really haven't seen since I was a kid. I've not shown my kids that one. Was Fievel being, like, you know... Like were like Cossacks coming in and like killing Fievel and his family? Like, what was going on there?
They needed to. Well, they were Jewish. Fievel Moskovitz. So
okay.
He needed to leave, but that was, I think that was before the Russian Revolution. That was when there were other pogroms going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jews just haven't been treated well ever. And it was probably before the Balfour Declaration of last week, because
where Fievel and his family would relocate to Palestine.
Along with the mouse from Mouse.
Why has this sequel not been made? Fievel and his family engaging in the war with Egypt.
So, the first thing Lenin does, and I'm just trying to get through this without talking about mouse holocausts. The first thing he does is tear up all of the land deeds. Because this was the big push for communism, what it was going to be all about. The land is owned by everyone, which means it's owned by the state. And I don't know if he actually tore up individually every single deed. I have to imagine he just said none of these deeds count, because that's a lot of ripping. Mm-hmm.
Shredders weren't invented yet.
No, they weren't.
But you made more of a point then.
Maybe the shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was around. Oh, and you know, Wolverine from the X-Men, I think he was alive back then because he fought in World War I in one of those Wolverine movies.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he had bone claws then. So I bet you could bone claw through a lot of these landings. We don't know what he was doing because he had amnesia too, just like Anastasia. Mm-hmm. So maybe they were both hit with an amnesia ray at the same time.
That would be a crossover between...
Yes. Of Anastasia this, and Wolverine. This explains so much. This explains both their amnesias and how the landings were all shredded.
As soon as I leave, your the fanfic starts, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, land is owned by everyone now. Lenin announced this via telegram that he's running a new regime. There's a new leader in charge. He even talks about exiting World War I, which I'm sure comes as a pleasure to all of the poor families in Russia who have sons dying over there, that they'll be able to finally come back and farm the land, which they now have, because he's going to give land equally to everyone. Now, like a day after that, Lenin suspends the press. And that's because the Bolshevik movement is like a subset of a subset. So there was all of the Soviets that took over from Tsar Nicholas II. And the Bolsheviks were just one little schism within that group. And they ended up taking over. So there's lots of people who are centrists and right-wingers who were in favor of revolution, but not in favor of Lenin taking over. So Lenin decides to shut them all up by shutting down the press so they can't say anything. Lenin's friend Trotsky said that anyone who's protesting can go into, quote, the dustbin of history.
Didn't he die, like, in the episode a couple weeks ago?
We talked about him a couple of weeks ago because he's important to this. But there's going to be yet another schism between Lenin and Trotsky. So there'll be a subset of a subset of a subset.
I could have sworn he was dead already in this year.
No, he dies years later in Mexico.
At Senior Frogs.
At Senior Frogs.
Yes. They're doing shots at Senior Frogs.
He had too many wall bangers. So our Nickelodeon this week, I should be doing Reds. Because Reds is all about the Russian Revolution. But I saw that a long time ago. And we've done so many movies that were 3 hours long that I've watched on two VHS tapes that I just can't bring myself to talk about any more of them. So it'll be The Hunt for Red October, which is one of my favorite movies. And it is not set in 1917. It's set in the 80s. But it was made in the 80s.
But yeah, it has the word red in it.
It has Red October in it. Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a submarine named after this week. So technically, it should have been named Red November. But they were sticking to their calendar. Our quiz this week, we're going to go back.
Are there anything about for October?
There's a huge amount I could say about
Red October. Is this really one of your favorite movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's in top 10. Mm-hmm. Although, I made that top 10 list a while ago, and I feel like if I see a movie that's really good, I need to then consider, oh, is this top 10 worthy? If so, do I sneak it in at number 10?
I don't know if I have it. Top 10 would be so hard to do, I think.
Right. Because it changes so often. Mm-hmm. You know, people are
making... Certain movies are really good, but I know I'm never going to watch again, even though I liked a lot.
People are making lists of their top 5 favorite Denzel Washington movies on Twitter, which is just an argument starter because, you know, there's more than 5 good Denzel Washington movies. So if you make a list of 5 but leave off Malcolm X, people are like, hey, you left off Malcolm X. So you put in Malcolm X and take something else out. You're like, hey, you left this out. Why? What? There's no winning. It's just setting yourself up for abuse. Mm-hmm. But you bring up the interesting point. Are people making a list of his 5 best performances, or are you making a list of the 5 best movies that he is starring in? Because those are different lists.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one should say Crimson Tide is the best Denzel Washington performance, but it's incredibly entertaining. I'd rather watch that than Fences any day of the week.
Yeah, there's certain movies that you'll watch again.
Yeah.
There's certain movies that are better movies, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, commit to that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work watching that movie.
Yeah, and there's vegetable movies where you feel like it's homework to watch it. Mm-hmm. And it's good, but, you know, vegetables are good too. But then there's popcorn movies that are enjoyable. And if you can do both, great. Okay, on to our quiz. How do we get to Denzel Washington? And, you know, I really should have linked it because I was talking about
Denzel Washington.
I was talking about Crimson Tide, and beforehand, you said we should talk more about Hunt for Red October. Maybe subliminally, I was thinking, well, sub-movie?
Well, you're talking about your favorite movie.
Yeah.
And then you start talking about making a list of favorite movies.
Okay, that's how we got
there. And then you got to Denzel Washington from there.
Yeah. You know, there have been, like, 5 actors who have played Jack Ryan in Hunt for Red October?
Well, let's see. I know Harrison Ford.
Yep.
Alec Baldwin.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
In 2002, there was Ben Affleck in Some of All Fears. And then, like, 10 years later, it was Chris Pine in a movie I think was just called Jack Ryan. And there's one more. John Krasinski is making a TV show about Jack Ryan, which is... I'm all in favor because I've read all of those books, and I like that there's a guy named Ryan who eventually becomes president because Tom Clancy didn't know what to do with him. Mm-hmm. And it was like, every book needs to end with him getting a promotion, mm-hmm. and there's only so many promotions he can get.
Emperor Ryan.
But then after he got president, it's like, oh, so in the next book, he'll be president again. And then he was fully out of ideas. So they needed to bring in a new character.
I'm guessing that
Jack Ryan Jr.
Oh, see, I would picture something about like space, that they would colonize another planet.
Oh, like a Machete Kills in Space?
Yeah, so you go to another planet and then become like president of this new planet.
In video game stories, that would work. Eventually, all video games go into space. But in this one, they tried to keep it realistic. But then he gave up writing his own books and other people write them. And even though he's dead, that still happens.
Tom Clancy's dead?
Yeah. He died like 3 or 4 years ago. But he's still regularly producing books. Because I guess they felt like, well, it's not like he was writing them anyways.
Do they try and lie and pretend like oh, we found this?
No. They're just... I haven't even read the jacket for some of them. But at first, they were just standalone stories, just like quasi-military stories.
So there is a new Tom Clancy, though.
Every book is written by a different guy.
Wow.
But they brought back Jack Ryan.
I didn't know Tom Clancy was like being like a temptation. Where they just keep the franchise going.
Well, if it was really a temptation, there would be like rival Tom Clancy books out there. And then, like, one of them, Jack Ryan's in space. And then another one, he's, like, president for life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in a third one, there's, a flashback Jack Ryan.
Okay, so there are several temptations performing now, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's, like, 12 tops. There's 4 tops, and there's 3 different groups of the 4 tops.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you have a top, he can add 3 other guys and call themselves the 4 tops.
I bet there's not one single original top out there.
You think they've all died or retired?
Yeah, maybe there's like one guy. I'm guessing that there's a guy who like performed with the original 4 tops. Like he was there. I'm guessing the first like generation of replacements.
Yeah.
Are now the old guys out there claiming to be the original ones.
If you had to make a 4 Tops cover band, would you call yourselves the 4 Bottoms?
Oh, God. That's below me.
Our quiz this week is the Queen of Hawaii, who we heard her songwriting ability at the top of the episode. I'm going to make an attempt at her name. She was called Liliuokalani, which is easy enough.
I've heard that before. I think that's right.
Liliuokalani.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the attempt. The attempt is her real name is Lydia Liliwa Loloku Walania Kamekehana.
Mm-hmm.
Or something along those lines. She was born in an era where Hawaii truly had this Hawaiian tradition and Hawaiian culture. And a lot of that is alien and foreign to us. Some of that is just the unusualness of the names. She was adopted, but it was called an informal adoption because there was like 8 different types of adoption in Hawaiian society. And this was one of the types of adoption where it wasn't official, but it was official enough so that she could eventually become queen, even though she wasn't.
There's 8 different types of adoption?
There's... lots of different types of adoption.
Like Eskimos with all the different words for snow.
Exactly, yeah. That's actually a better example than Eskimos and lots of words for snow. Because the Eskimo words for snow align perfectly with the English words for snow. The same way that we can talk about rain and snow and sleet and... Like, they were just throwing adjectives and then next to the word snow.
Okay.
And we do the same thing, too. It's just what every language does to describe weather. But the idea that Eskimos have 40 words for snow was so compelling. The fact that they didn't slow anyone down from saying that they did. So in addition to having lots of different terms for different types of adoption, they had lots of different names for different types of sex. Mm-hmm. And this is something that doesn't get put into history books very often because it's not considered very complimentary and it's not part of
Is it based Western on society. Wait, no, is it based on like positions or based on like the person you're having sex with?
It's based on the person you're having sex with.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like sex with a cousin, sex with a sister, sex with a stranger, sex with like
I think your cousin aunt. First.
But all of that, and I think they can also combine with what the positions are. And for like the missionaries who showed up in 1820, this was all just the worst stuff.
They said there's only one type of sex, and it's named after us.
Yes, exactly. I think that's where missionary position came from.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
So, Lilio Kalani, she became queen in 1891 after her older brother died. Before she was a queen, she was a princess. She was the third in line to the throne, so she thought this just isn't going to happen. But then her brother became the king, and then the middle child died, and she became next in line. When she was living as a princess, in 1887, she visited the UK to represent Hawaii for the Golden Jubilee of Hu. It was a big celebration in 1887.
Let's see, who'll be there? I don't know.
Queen Victoria. All
right.
They were celebrating her 50th year as a queen.
I was going to say Victoria, but then I thought that may be so off base. I'm going to sound really stupid if I say it.
No, you were right on the money. Now, that same year, 1887, Hawaiians voted against changing the constitution to what was called the Bayonet Constitution. That would greatly reduce the power of the monarchy. It would basically say we don't have a king or a queen anymore. We just have like a sinecure, and businessmen are going to run Hawaii. Who was behind that proposed change in the Bayonet Constitution?
I don't know.
America.
Oh, okay.
And American.
I was looking for one person in particular.
Oh,
and, Fred.
And Western businessmen who were born in Hawaii and had Hawaiian blood and Hawaiian culture, but also had ties to America and wanted to yoke Hawaii over to America instead of to be its own country because they thought that that would be better for Hawaii. But that meant that they had to overthrow the queen. And that's the next question. There was a coup d'etat in Hawaii in 1893. Who invaded and took over from the Hawaiians?
America.
Yes, the U.S. Marines. We invaded, I don't even know the reason why, other than this is land and let's take it because we've run out of land in the 48 states. Now that changed the Kingdom of Hawaii, which was around from 1795 to 1894, into what? It's no longer the Kingdom of Hawaii. What's it called now?
Let's see. The Republic of Hawaii.
You got it. Yes. Yeah. The Republic of Hawaii from 1894 to 1898. And after that four-year span, it becomes a territory. And then like 60 years later, it eventually will become a state. But when it was attacked in Pearl Harbor, it was still a territory that hardly anyone had heard of. Lilio Kalani, after the coup d'etat, was under house arrest. She abdicated her throne in exchange for what?
Her freedom.
No, she stayed under house arrest, but six of her supporters were on death row. She abdicated in exchange for those supporters not being executed. So good for her. What was the last name of one of the two men who led the effort for territoryhood?
Let's see.
If that's a real word. It's a name that you associate with Hawaiian stuff.
Hmm. I was thinking something Dwayne Rock Johnson. I'm thinking.
No, it's Dole.
Oh, okay.
Sanford Dole. So a huge amount of this
was, pineapple
was people. Yeah. This was like a pineapple coup because they were making money off of pineapples. We talked about this a little bit. Aloha egg was based on what goodbye gesture from An American Colonel? Was it
a hug?
A hug, yes. The other choices were putting a lei around your neck and a kiss.
Mm-hmm. That's a big scam babe in Hawaii, by the way.
Oh,
yeah. You go to Waikiki, you're walking the beach, you know, you have a couple of, drinks in you.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go, you know, some like kids will come up to you and they'll throw a lei around your wife's neck. And you're like, oh, well, what a bunch of friendly kids. And they're like, guys, they'll be $20. And by then, you're already like, you have the lay on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
You know, you can't say, I didn't want this lay. Just so when somebody comes up to you with a lay, and you don't know enough to move fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine if they did that for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're walking in the supermarket and someone just hands you a box of Lucky Charms. And it's like, oh, it's like, that'll be $6.
That's kind of what it's like.
Yeah.
But, like, you're walking on the beach, someone just, you know, threw a lei on your wife. There's nothing, you got to pay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The box of Lucky Charms isn't romantic.
Yeah. You know? I can't be like, get that lei off her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she won't be like, huh, wait, you don't love me enough for a box of Lucky Charms?
No.
This is going to ruin the mood.
I think it went $10. Now, in all fairness to the kids, mm-hmm. It was a well-made lei. It wasn't like a cheap old foamy one. It was like flowers that they actually strung together.
Yeah. I think every single person who goes to Hawaii, I think it was a rule that got carried over. They must receive a lei.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a choice. Everyone has to. And mostly everyone's, like, you're getting there by ship or by plane.
If I remember correctly, they did it at the airport, too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had a high quality series of orchids around my neck when I got mine,
mm-hmm.
which was nice. But I wonder, do locals immediately take it off because it seems like a tourist
thing? That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Yeah. That'd be walking around Times Square with the Statue of Liberty foam crown on.
Yeah. So maybe the person handing out leis or like the guy handing out flyers for a bringer show.
I'd actually want to look local, so I would, instead of getting a lei, I want them to do one of those, like, stone tattoos on me. Cover my body with one of those chisel tattoos.
So, speaking of scams beyond the lei, Lilio Kalani signed a piece of paper with the U.S. government, basically saying they're going to buy Hawaii off of her. She's going to get a massive amount of money in an exchange. The Republic of Hawaii becomes a territory.
I'm guessing that did not happen. She did not get the money.
That was the question. What happened after she signed that piece of paper? The U.S. decided, we like the part where we take Hawaii. We don't really like the part where we pay you. So under the new rule, we're just going to take it. And we won't kill you. So she protested for decades. And she moved to America. She lived in a suburb of Boston. And she had lots and lots of cases against her. And eventually, the U.S. gave her a stipend of $1,250 a month, which back then was a lot to live on. You could have, like, a small staff and pay for them. But it's not the same thing as selling a country to America and then getting ripped off from it. But I feel like if she had talked to any of the native people in America and asked, so...
I'm going to see this money, right?
Yeah, yeah. The United States, how good are they with contracts with Native people? I think they would have all said, I wouldn't do that. But the alternative may have just been, we're going to take it anyway.
Yeah, so might as well pretend like I might get money.
Yeah. Final question. In April of 1917, Lilio Kalani heard that Germans had sunk U.S. ships. That's what got us into World War I. What did she do after she heard that? She made a public symbol.
She didn't do another song?
No, she didn't do another song. She raised the U.S. flag. And some people saw that as just showing sympathy for America because Americans had died. Some of it saw it as her saying, okay, fine, Hawaii is American. Look, I'm flying the flag. I'm sad. But she never commented on it about what it meant. and she died soon afterwards. And that is the end of This Week in 100 Years Ago Today. Join us next week when we talk about yet another new country. Are you ready to get Ukraine in the membrane? Oh, God, I have to cut that out. I have to cut that out. That's awful.
Too late. It's in. Ahoy, hoy.
God, it's been in my head for like a week and a half.
Ahoy, hoy. Ahoy, hoy.